Skype all around the world. Take your smartphone to your Bluetooth with your earpiece on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd? Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd Up. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast, and here with me, I'll just let them ramble on their names. I don't want to say alphabetical order, because we always do that one. Let's go with alphabetical order with the second letter in your last name, but first, I'm Guilty Wilson.
I am the one who knocks.
Tim. I am the one who knocks Tim Matson.
I'm the one who knocks over buildings. Eric Billingsley.
Out of order.
It was out of order, but hey, we'll deal with it. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw a wrench into the works there. Let's see here. Well, first of all, we're going to talk about a few things today. We're going to talk about, of course, the Godzilla movie that just got released. I believe Tim Coker and I are the only ones that saw the movie so far. So we'll be talking heavily about it. I'm sure everybody else will want to throw in their questions, rants, and reviews. But also, we're going to talk about TV cancellations and renewals. The networks released about a week or so ago all their cancellations and renewals. Some of them are appreciated, the cancellations anyway. Some of them are surprising, and some of them are, we'll figure out which ones are which as we talk about those. Also, we're going to close out the podcast talking about a big event that yours truly and the most of the podcast crew, with the exception of Tim Coker, we're going to be attending Indie PopCon, a pop culture convention in Indianapolis, and we'll be talking with several of the celebrity guests. From there, we'll be conducting interviews, and we're going to finally get that chance for John DiMaggio to slap Tim Matson for hating his Joker.
So terrible. So terrible.
I'm going to do everything I can to set up a face-to-face meet and greet for you guys so that, I'm going to try to set, I'm going to set up some sort of wrestling ring and let you guys talk about Joker. And in case it comes to blows, we'll have folded chairs on the side. But we'll talk about that towards the end of the podcast. In the meantime, let's get into it immediately. Tim Coker and I both saw Godzilla. I will start it out because I'm sure Tim has a more intelligent view of the film than I do. I just love it because I'm a huge Godzilla fan. I even like the lame ones just because they're just so much fun. And Isaac and I, he pretty much grew up watching Godzilla films with me. And we own every single Godzilla movie that's ever made, except for one, and that is the Godzilla vs. Smog Monster, which for some reason I cannot find on DVD. I've searched. I'm going to just basically break down and actually purchase it online and pay a higher price, but eventually I'll do that. But the Godzilla vs. Smog Monster, or Hedorah, is one of the trippiest Godzilla films ever made. It's like, there's some parts where it's like people are dancing to really weird psychedelic music. There's some animation effects. There's just a flying poop monster known as Hedorah, and it's just weird. But it's one of the better ones because it's so weird. Not because of storyline, but it does have a nice little environmental impact story to it. But I think it's one of the better ones because it's just so outlandish. But anyway, Godzilla, this is the Americans' second attempt making a Godzilla movie, making this the 32nd Godzilla movie. 32 of those things are out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Actually, when you say it's probably the 2.5, because wasn't there like a co-production like back in the early 80s, I think it was, with Raymond Burr, where the Japanese did the majority of the film, but then America filmed a bunch of footage of Raymond Burr standing in a control room and edited that into the film. I don't know if that qualifies or not.
I'd have to say 0.5 on that one. Yeah, that would have to be. But I do like the original, and that's basically what they did, is they took the original Gojira, King of the Monsters, and did, worked it into there. But no, I don't know. That one's one of those iffy ones that you throw out. It, you got to take the good with the bad when it comes to Godzilla.
I'd throw that one out definitely because it is still just the same movie.
Yeah.
With shots of Raymond Burr.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Wished in there, you know, in odd fashion.
Trying to make it Americanized. I saw that one. It's so funny. I saw that one in a theater in San Diego when I was in the Navy, and right next door to the theater was a porn theater. So I kept thinking, am I in the wrong one? Because this one's really screwing with me. But anyway, wow. I also saw The Reanimator there, but that makes no difference.
Oh, love that movie.
So
good times.
All right, so Godzilla, but this one I think the Americans got it right. The last one back in 1998, like I said, the first problem with that movie is that it had Matthew Broderick. Okay, he was not perfect for that show.
No, that's its first problem.
Yeah. Now, the other problems with it are numerous, other than, I mean, basically just sum it up in saying that they had no clue what a Godzilla movie was about. Godzilla movies are not about just Godzilla destroying something. There's always some kind of backstory to it, and it's also a little bit of fun thrown in as well. And
wait,
also,
that was a Godzilla movie? I thought that was a sequel to Jurassic Park.
I know, right? And actually, it's so funny. There's one Godzilla movie. I can't remember which one it is because the titles always elude me. I want to say Destroy All Monsters, but I'm not sure. But there's one Godzilla movie in which Godzilla is destroying every single monster that's in the Gojira universe. Every single kaiju makes an appearance, including the 1998 Godzilla. And he's on the screen for like 10 seconds before Godzilla whips his butt. So I was like, yeah, show him. But anyway, this time around, though, they got it right. First of all, I want to talk about the CGI. It was really nice. I didn't see any flaws with the effects at all. Everything was perfect. You know, there was none of this, they could have drawn the face a little bit better, like in Amazing Spider-Man 1 with the lizard. That was like the most horrible looking lizard ever. This one, they did it right. There's also the effect in every Godzilla movie, Japanese made, you can tell it's people in rubber suits, okay? And that's not a bad thing. Now, the latter ones, they do have a lot more CGI, but they still have a lot of people in rubber suits. This one, it almost, I mean, I knew it was CGI, but it almost looked, especially the Motu, the other two creatures in the movie, they look like they're people in rubber suits. And I thought that was so cool that they made them look like that, because it's kind of, to me, it was paying homage to the original Godzilla, saying, hey, we know you guys did it on a low budget. And it just makes it look cool. It makes it feel like a real Godzilla movie, actually. And the fact that one thing that the Americans didn't get right in the first one, Godzilla cannot be destroyed. Armies cannot destroy him. He's never destroyed. He at the end of the movies, he goes out on his own, swims out in the ocean, and goes back until he's needed again. And the other aspect, Godzilla is here to save mankind. He's not there just to destroy buildings. He's there to save mankind from their own smog in the Hedera smog monster movie, from nuclear destruction or whatever. In this case, it was kind of a no nukes type film because these Motus were eating up radiation from nuclear power plants. So basically nuclear power plants are bad. That's what caused all this. They had that storyline in it as well. Walter White, Bryan Cranston, he was actually great in this. Although, I don't know if I want to give a spoiler. No, I won't.
let's try to avoid spoilers, not just for me and Eric.
But I will say that he did a good role, and although at the end of the movie, Isaac and I were both walking out saying, "How come he didn't say I'm the one who knocked?" You know, anything like that. But it was kind of we had our fun with crossing over the TV show and the Godzilla series. But the other aspect, a Navy SEAL is a hero of the day, and that's kind of a good thing to know. So all in all, like I said, the Americans got it right. They kept it feeling like an old Godzilla movie, and at the same time had an environmental impact message and had a really good storyline. And without giving any spoilers, every actor in this pulled off every role, no matter how long they lasted in the film. All right, Tim Coker, now let me hear what you had to say about it.
The movie was a pleasant surprise for me, and it was something where, you know, I kind of, when I first heard they were doing it, I thought, but it's just the sort of feeling I get when I'm sort of facing the inevitability of the media franchise remake machine, you know? And just knowing how badly the Matthew Broderick one came out, just, and not really having a lot of faith in it, I wasn't very interested. But obviously, for a lot of people I've talked to and who are kind of similarly of my frame of mind, I took interest when I heard Bryan Cranston's voice in the trailer. You know, that suddenly woke me up, and I was like, oh, maybe this will be a better movie, you know. And I actually did like the movie a lot. It was a really pleasant surprise for me. I'm not like a huge G fan like you are, Gil. I really love Godzilla. Like I grew up when I was a kid, anytime I could see one of his movies was a red letter day. But I don't really specialize in it like the way I do with Marvel or Doctor Who or things like that. But I've seen probably 6 or 8 of the original movies, and especially the first one. And the reason the first one is so special is, you know, it's more than just a monster movie. It's kind of half monster movie, half art film about Japanese nuclear trauma, you know?
Yeah.
And it could only have come from a very specific culture, which is a culture that had just been nuked, which, let's face it, there really aren't many of those on the Earth. And that nuke had to be in living memory for the movie to have the resonance that it does. And when you watch it, it's just shocking how much kind of post-war despair there is in the movie. So going into this movie, I wondered if they would be going for anything as deep as that, or if they would kind of just keep it more on the popcorn level. And I think that the answer is probably B. Like, it has a little kind of a, you know, because of the fact that it's connected to the nuclear power plants and stuff, and when there's a plant that goes boom in the movie, that you can't help but think of the recent troubles they've had over there. But it isn't woven into the whole movie like it is in the original. And, you know, is that a problem? Is it not a problem? It depends on what you come to the movie for. But I thought it's a good movie. It's a solid show. I didn't get as much Bryan Cranston in it as I do. I was kind of assuming he was going to be the same character or the same kind of role that Takashi Shimura did, you know, in the first movie, where he is one of the great actors in China or in Japan at this point. And he has this incredible moral weight that he gives the movie. And he's in the whole movie, and he's this kind of mournful presence that makes the movie seem really serious and important. And I was kind of thinking they were going to use Bryan Cranston that way, and they didn't. He's actually not the protagonist of the movie at all. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But what we get is pretty good. You know, it, instead of being about, you know, nuclear trauma, it's back to the kind of very normal things of my wife, my child, all these people in the city, that's what's at stake, you know. And that's not a bad thing to have at stake, but it's a very different tone than the original. Okay, so I've beaten that horse into the ground. What I'm going to say next is that Godzilla himself is phenomenal. And, you know, the audience broke out into applause when he finally shows up in the movie. And it's completely deserved. I just thought he was terrific.
Hey, I got to ask you, Tim, real quick. Did they also applaud whenever, because they did in my theater, whenever finally used his bad breath? his radio.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're like, oh, come on, when's he going to do it? And then when he does it, it's like, yeah!
Exactly, yeah, exactly. That was
the
so
movie,
cool.
Yeah, it's like, it's a Sacco action movie. It's really like, anytime anything exciting is happening on screen, it looks like $1 million. I mean, it's just great. And this is probably as good a time as any to get into talking about the director's earlier movie, Monsters, which was a kind of a low-budget movie about kind of a monster infestation that's happening, and the government maybe or maybe not knowing what to do about it. And these two people who are sort of traveling through the monster zone and having these brushes with them that are about as spectacular as a low budget movie could afford. But the smart thing about the movie is it does it all from a very human perspective. And that's what makes this Godzilla movie special, is unlike Pacific Rim, where your field of view is kind of up at shoulder height with the robots because you're supposed to identify with the big robots that are hitting or battle suits that are hitting the monsters. In this movie, the point of view is always more human scale. So maybe you're in a helicopter that's about to get knocked out of the sky by an EMP, or maybe you're in a train that's going by with the monster kind of towering over you. But this is that guy being given all the money to make this movie look as spectacular as possible. And, you know, I don't even care about the ridiculous convenience-driven plot, because anytime anything exciting happens, which the conveniences enable, or the coincidences enable, like, then I don't care, because it's amazing. So, yeah, I really liked it. I totally recommend this movie. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it definitely is, especially the fight scenes. I mean, you got the whole plot going on even while the fight scenes are going on in the background. I mean, you know, you got the the Navy SEAL, and you got everybody trying to get rid of this nuke, or move the nuke anyway. And at the same time, Godzilla's battling out with these this male and female Motu, and it's just it's like you got action almost throughout the whole film. Well, the latter part of the film.
It's good.
Now I got to ask you, did you catch, Tim, being not the huge Godzilla fan, but the opening where they had the helicopter land where the nuclear plant was, or well, where they discovered the uranium, the first discovery of the nuclear area, and the monsters had burrowed out. Did you notice that whole scene? The helicopter coming in, Monarch and everything. It was a very... They paid homage to Mothra in that scene. That was a scene almost directly cut out of the movie Godzilla vs. Mothra. So I thought they were going to have Mothra in this film at that point.
Oh, that's excellent. I didn't catch it. That is great.
Yeah, the way they filmed the helicopter flying in and everything is like when they did that whenever they found Mothra's egg. And it's like, that's the same scene.
Now I do want to say there are two instances in the movie where they you see people go in and find this kind of subterranean lair area,
mm-hmm.
and then they find this hole where what was in the lair had punched its way out or dug its way out, and then you see the big trail that goes down to the sea or whatever. But there are two different times, I think, that this happens in the movie, and both times you think that all of these people approaching that by air didn't see this giant hole where the thing came out. It reminds me of Close Encounters, right, where the jeeps and the helicopters are flying through the desert, and then for some reason the helicopters are flying behind the jeeps, and then like they stop the jeeps right on the crest of the hill so they can go over the hill and see the ship on foot. It's that kind of thing.
Well, especially the one where they store all nuclear waste in America, that, and they were searching through, the tunnel. Yeah, that scene right there, I'm like, in fact, Isaac and I both in the movie said, they didn't see that when they're flying there? that's a big hole. there's a couple of those.
But that's a tiny quibble, man. This movie, if you want to go see what it looks like in the trailer, that's what you're going to get, and a lot of it.
Yeah. And it's full of action, full of fun. Now, see, I'm a huge any kaiju type film ever made. I'm a fan of, because Godzilla got me directed that way. I mean, you've got I think it was the Koreans that made Gamera, it's another Japanese studio made Gamera. I even like those silly Gamera movies, the giant flying turtle. The Koreans, they made I think Negadon is the ones the Koreans made, and I mean, there are just so many different ones. I even consider Cloverfield in these kaiju films, and Pacific Rim, because they directly refer to them as kaiju. But yeah, I'm a huge fan, and whether they're campy or not, they're still fun. Well, especially some of the early Godzilla, you could say they're family friendly, and I think this one is still kind of family friendly, although there is a lot of battles that kind of destroy a few things. But it's on a scale that I think kids can still enjoy it.
I have one question about the comparing this to the original Godzilla. Are there two like annoyingly and obnoxiously cute kids that you hope will get crushed by Godzilla the entire time, somehow survive?
There almost is at one point. I was like, when he showed up, like, Tim, you're going to know what I'm talking about. On the train, there's a little Japanese kid in a baseball cap, and I'm like, oh my god, there's the obligatory Japanese kid in a baseball cap.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh no. But he didn't die, but he didn't stay long in the film. But it's like, there's another little nod.
I was grateful that they moved on from that. I didn't hate it while it was happening, but I was really grateful that him and the kid he couldn't really talk to, and it was immediately in my mind, like I do obsessively when I watch movies, trying to predict the movie that this is going to be.
Yeah.
And I really imagined a lot of, oh, we can't talk to each other, but we're going to have to signal to each other to get through all kinds of crazy situations. And I was really glad that it didn't turn into that movie.
Yeah, exactly. But when they showed him, I mean, you could see he had the red baseball cap, a blue shirt, and a pair of shorts, and a young Japanese boy about, like, what, eight years old? And it's like, you see that in every single film. And it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay, no, they didn't. Okay, good. So
there's one point on which I'd like to compare this and contrast this movie with Pacific Rim, if you guys don't mind. I thought, like, Pacific Rim was a movie I went into really wanting to love it as a Guillermo del Toro fan, and I like kaiju stuff and all that. And I really didn't. Like, I didn't hate the movie, but I just felt like it was other than how spectacular the monsters were and the action where it was, I thought the movie was one of the most crushingly mediocre movies I've ever seen. And I think that it really came down to, I couldn't identify with any of the main characters, you know, the army guys who were kind of running the battle suits. And I wanted to, but I really felt like every character beat and everything that happened involving those characters was so cliched and felt like so taken from every corny, put me in, coach, I can do it, kind of, yeah. You know, with the tough sergeant and the, you know, the haunted guy who's maybe lost one guy too many, and the girl who's plucky and she's got, like, the whole thing really felt like they just sent the entire group of military characters over from central casting, you know? And with this movie, you get another cliche, which is the super highly trained, you know, army badass. Well, although he's not like Jason Statham badass, but he's a guy that knows his stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And knows what to do in any situation. He keeps his head, and which is what you want from a hero. You don't want somebody who's just gibbering and confused, and you also don't want him to be kind of a douchebag. So,
well, hold on. I gotta say, not Army. He's Navy. He's Navy SEAL.
Navy.
EOD.
Okay, right. well, and let me say then that this is also my position as an ignorant guy who's never been in the service, you know, and all that. So, to me, I always just kind of see military guy, right? Which I know is just kind of a mark of my own lack of knowledge. But again, that's a good point. He is different, and maybe that's part of why he's different. But I felt like, in spite of the kind of, you know, this lone man has to be the one guy that makes a difference and crosses the whole world to save his little baby and his wife and all this stuff, you know? And that's the sort of thing that I usually, you know, I start sharpening my knives when I see that. But but the movie, I don't know, it pulled it off. I felt like maybe the actors were good enough and maybe the director directed them tastefully enough, but I never felt like I was being fed a lot of reheated stuff. I felt like it seemed to work pretty well within the movie.
And I think one of the things that makes that one stand out is the fact that he is Navy SEAL. Navy SEAL will, they're highly trained of explosive ordnance disposal. I mean, EOD, that's what he is. And they worked that in just right to make that character work just right, in my opinion, because of that fact. You know, hey, you need that guy. You need him only.
Yeah, he's crucial to the movie.
Yeah, I think that that's the reason why they used him as that aspect. Well, the fact just that he mentioned at the beginning that he was a nuclear specialist.
Yeah.
So, there we go. But that's why.
You know, just to jump in for a second, I know I haven't seen the movie, but Tim kind of touched on one of the reasons why I haven't seen the movie. I mean, every time, and especially, you know, Pacific Rim also in particular, every time I hear a director is tackling his dream project, this is the movie he's always wanted to make, he spent his whole career leading up to this, I avoid that like the plague, because it's invariably horrible, because the director's always super indulgent, he's always, you know, slavish to every single thing that has influenced him along his career, and it's generally just a fawning mess.
Yeah.
It's terrible. The flip side of that is, you know, Godzilla being a part of the recent Hollywood trend of let's remake everything. Everything has to be remade. It's just they have just, in my mind, pissed away their goodwill for me when it comes to opening weekends. I never see a film on opening weekend anymore. I just don't, because they have used up all the goodwill that they have with me. You know, they turn out these useless remakes that are just garbage. I have to wait and find out, is this worth my time? And Godzilla seems to be worth my time, so I'll definitely be seeing it.
Well, I can assure you, it is definitely not a remake. It's in the continuing storyline as every other Godzilla film is. After all, this is the 32nd one that counts in the whole genre of Godzilla films, I guess. It would almost be a sequel to any of the Japanese ones, because they carry the story just strong enough to do that, to make it seem like a sequel rather than a remake, because it doesn't remake any story ever told. It's a brand new story on its own, and it's just almost a sequel, a continuing of the story.
Okay, so by that, do you mean that when Godzilla shows up, they're like, oh yeah, that's the thing that almost destroyed Japan 50 times previously? They've actually seen this thing before?
They kind of mentioned that, yes.
Oh, okay.
Sort of.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, they don't... Okay, it isn't like, you know, like in the... Okay, no, they don't say, oh, yeah, no, we've got 30 or 40 or 50 years worth of news camera footage of this thing, you know, attacking a variety of domestic and foreign ports. You know, it's not, it isn't like that. But what you can do is you can imagine, when you see it, you can kind of get the idea that this stuff that happened with Godzilla that we're aware of from movies, that happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
So it isn't like everybody knows about him, but at the same time, it isn't like it's out of the blue either.
Right, right. Okay. It's actually like a sequel to the original the first Godzilla movie.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting that the first movie, you're right, was so steeped in that post-war trauma, in a country that has just been attacked with a nuclear weapon. Depression and that really influences that film. It's interesting that this film isn't really tied to that type of attitude because, quite frankly, we just don't have that type of war anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank God.
But there's other issues.
Well, the closest thing to that is, I guess, 9/11 for us in terms of a big national tragic trauma like that, but I really am ready to never see another movie that ties into 9/11 anyway, so I'm kind of glad they didn't
go
there.
Yeah. We'll leave those to Jack Bauer.
or Zack Snyder.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I think those movies are yet to be made, really. Ones that really, truly can address that. I just don't know that we've moved on enough to really objectively make that a part of our entertainment.
I know the Tea Party hasn't.
It's been referenced obliquely, though, in so many movies and TV shows since then that I'm with Tim. Tim Coker. I'm tired of it. I don't. It's used as shorthand, and I think that's reductive to the actual incident by saying, this is like 9/11 without coming out and actually saying it, but implying it heavily. I don't want to see it anymore. I mean, if someone wants to make an actual film about the experience, using it as shorthand, I'm open to that. I'm tired of it being used as shorthand, I just don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah, that's lazy writing. Yeah. That's just lazy writing.
Yeah. Well, this one, let's recap here or sum up anyway. Godzilla doesn't use that, and it's also pretty much just a sequel to the first Godzilla movie. I'll say it was a great movie. Definitely go see it. It's a lot of fun. It's well done, and you'll actually sit down and enjoy it. And I even think Tim Mattson will enjoy it. All right, Tim Coker, give your final view on Godzilla.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. It ain't high art, but what it is a really, I would say, overachieving popcorn movie. And it's like, in terms of big monster action, I would say this is the top of the heap for giant kaiju action that I've ever seen visually. And the grown-ups were having a great time at the movie. The kids were having a great time. I was actually there with two sons of a good friend of mine who were pretty much enthralled through the whole movie. So I'm not going to say it's fun for the whole family because, these kids are pretty jaded and they've seen a lot of stuff. But, if your kids aren't too young, if you've got kids who are maybe tweens, you'll have a great time with them.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I have a pretty short fuse with stuff like this, and I ended up enjoying the movie. Now, Tim Mattson's fuse is an entirely different kind of short fuse, so I promise nothing.
Well, I think he'll enjoy it.
I'm always different.
All right, folks, let's move on to television. I got a list a couple weeks ago. The networks released their cancellations and renewals for the year, the next year. I wanted everybody's opinion on this, and we're going to just kind of go through the list, let people know what was canceled, what not to expect for next year. We'll talk about if I strike on a show that's one of your favorites or something you like that you're surprised at or wished it would have been renewed or not surprised, or just the fact that you're glad it was renewed or maybe you're mad that it's canceled, whatever the case, go ahead and jump in, guys. So we'll start out with ABC. The show's canceled on ABC for the year. The Assets, Back in the Game, Betrayal, Killer Women, Lucky Seven, Mind Games, Mixology, The Neighbors, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, Suburgatory, Super Fun Night, and Trophy Wife. Now, these are all on ABC that were canceled. The only one out of that whole bunch that I even watched was The Neighbors, and I saw like two episodes, and I'm like, meh. Any comments on any of the ABC shows canceled?
You know how much TV I watch, right? I mean, I watch a lot of TV. It should be telling that I haven't even heard of three quarters of those.
Same here. Tim Coker?
Yeah, I thought, Gil, didn't you make up? I thought you just made up that whole list, seriously. It sounds like the results of a brainstorm for dumb TV show names.
Killer Women?
Yeah. Yeah. I watch almost no like new TV shows because I'm old school. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, that's the same. When I first read the list, there's only one of them that I'd even seen. I'd never even really – I heard about Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, but never enough to say I want to watch it. But all those others, I'd never even heard of.
You know, before we get too deep into this list, you know, this is – it's really funny. I kind of went through this when you mentioned you wanted to talk about this, and I'm with you guys. I mean, I haven't heard of three-quarters of these things, and I have to say I have fundamentally changed – I have changed the way I consume television. I don't watch network television week to week anymore. I haven't done it in years. And so really, if a show wants to get my attention, it's got to be good, and it's got to be something that pop culture is talking about. If it rises to that level, then I'll seek it out. I'll watch it on Hulu. I'll watch it on Netflix or whatnot. But network TV is absolutely not something I watch anymore. So this list, I used to be fascinated by this list like 10 years ago. But anymore, it means nothing to me. These shows that you just mentioned were canceled mean absolutely nothing.
Yeah, there might be some others on the list. I know this is going to be affecting some of us. There's a couple others that I got some comments about coming up here. But in fact, let's move on to CBS. There's cancellations for CBS.
Well, hold on. I just have one comment about one of the shows on ABC that was canceled. I haven't seen Once Upon a Time in Wonderland because I gave up on Once Upon a Time, the main show, like a while ago. And it just, I don't know, maybe things have changed, but I like the concept and I stuck with it for like the first season and a half maybe. And it was so repetitive and, you know, didn't really go anywhere and just... I don't know. I gave up on it, and I was hoping that it would get canceled, but I guess it's still popular. Doesn't really matter, but I don't know if anyone else has watched the show. But, I mean, I gave it a try. It just couldn't hold me.
All right, CBS. Bad Teacher, The Crazy Ones, Friends with Better Lives, Hostages, How I Met Your Mother, Intelligence, and We Are Men. Let me start out here first. How I Met Your Mother, I thought they ended it anyway. So, again, that's another one I never watched, but everybody I knew... They came up with a surprise, or the ending of actually, they finally answered that question. How he met
the mother. That one was not canceled. That just came to an end.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
That's what I thought, too. So, but they have it listed as CBS canceled it, but I thought, well, I think the writers canceled it. So, anyway, any thoughts on CBS? Again, other than that one, that's the only one I'd even heard of, and I never even watched it.
Well, I liked Hostages. I watched the season, and I was kind of curious what they would do with the second season. I guess I'll have to remain curious about that. had some good actors in it, and it was an interesting premise. It was very much in the kind of vein as 24. I mean, not necessarily that it had anything to do with, like, you know, terrorism or anything like that, but it had that kind of cliffhanger feel to it. I'm not... broken up that it was canceled, but you know, I was going to watch the second season if it did get picked up.
Well, I thought We Are Men was actually a Devo film, but I guess I was wrong. So no, Are We Not Men, or We Are Not Men. Okay, anyway, all right.
Do you think it's interesting that you know, once again, Sarah Michelle Gellar can't anchor a TV show post Buffy?
Which one was that with her?
Crazy Ones with Robin Williams.
Well,
with
Robin Williams, I saw an episode of that maybe once or twice, and. It was so horrible to watch. I couldn't stand to watch it. It just, like, tension filled.
There was nothing about the previews to that that didn't say Robin Williams is doing his usual shtick.
Yeah.
So you already know how this is going to go.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I'd even forgotten about that one. All right, let's move on to NBC. This one is actually, there's a cancellation on this one that makes me happy, extremely happy. One of them, I'm like, well, they could have, but. Oh, well. But the first one here is the could have. Believe. And then we'll go into Crisis. Community.
No!
Dracula. Growing Up Fisher, which actually was kind of cute. Ironside. The Michael J. Fox Show. And here's the one I'm extremely happy about. Revolution. Sean Saves the World. Welcome to the Family. So I will, first of all, let me start out here. Believe, I think they could have gone more, but I think they... Again, they were doing just an episodic thing, and we'd approached this before. If they have one big story arc, they could make it succeed, but apparently they couldn't, so Believe is going to go away. The other one, Growing Up Fisher, it was cute. It was interesting. It's based on a true story from what I understand, and J. Jonah Jameson as a blind man was just cool to watch, and he wasn't selling me insurance. But then finally, the Revolution, I gave up on that at the mid-season of the first season. thing.
Same here.
It's like, this is dumb. How can these people be so clean all the time? And it's the end of the world. So.
And it's Eric Kripke, the guy behind Supernatural.
I know. That's what attracted me at first, but then it's like, he doesn't know how to do it on another network.
Yeah, it was popular for a while, and I really couldn't figure out why, because just like Believe, it just didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, week after week after week, it's just the same thing recycled in, you know, with different clothes on. But it's the same plot week after week after week, and it bores me, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I got bored every episode. Any other comments on any of those shows?
Well, I kind of like Dracula, but it didn't really go anywhere like these other ones. It was really well produced. I mean, the production value was very high. The actors were awesome. I mean, some terrific talent. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers that played Dracula was very, very good. And I know at least one person who's very upset that it got canceled. But, you know, I'm kind of ambivalent after a season of it.
All right, Tim Matson, Community got canceled.
Oh, my God. What terrible news. Supposed to be 6 seasons in a movie, people. Come on.
Well, are they going to still come out with a movie?
Absolutely not. There's no way. No, it was time for Community to go. I say, you know, maybe my I can't really talk today. I'm so upset about Community. No, I do protest too much. I mean, it was time for Community to go. I mean, they had lost 2 of the original actors, and it was time to close up shop. People are ready to move on.
Well,
the interesting show on this list, actually, for NBC was the Michael J. Fox show. Really interested in why that didn't find an audience.
I think it was
such an appealing actor, and he has a great history of, you know, making projects successful.
Well, I think there's the uncomfortable issue. I think that, you know, you're making the audience uncomfortable, you know, having to watch a guy with Parkinson's disease, although he's still a great actor. You know, and again, I watched a couple episodes of that. The show itself didn't get me. Michael J. Fox, every time I'd say, wow, that guy really is a good actor, you know, even when he's playing himself, basically. But I think that's one of the reasons why. I think uncomfortable. People. Just,
you may be right.
I'm thinking that's the only thing that could go wrong on it. All right, well, let's move on to the CW cancellations. For some reason, I do not have the Fox cancellations. I don't think we're... I don't know. I'm not sure. But anyway, let's go to the CW. These are some that... CW, I always like the network because they're not afraid to experiment with something, whether it's good or bad. And they... Oh, wait. I do have the Fox list. Okay, there we go. Anyway, the CW, the ones canceled from the CW, The Carrie Diaries, Nikita, Star-Crossed, and this one I'm glad I gave up on it anyway, The Tomorrow People. And that's the list for CW. Any questions, comments, complaints?
Again, Nikita actually came to an end. It wasn't.
Was that right? Another one of those?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. I honestly was wanting to watch The Carrie Diaries, but never found myself, you know, that much wanting to. So, but The Tomorrow People, I just thought they went completely nowhere with it. They were just, I mean, they had a great idea, comic book heroes, you know, that's like, that's my type of show. But they just didn't really go anywhere with it. I got the Fox now, the Fox cancellations. These I'm not surprised at all. Dads, Enlisted, Raising Hope, Rake, Surviving Jack, and The X Factor. Although Surviving Jack, that was fairly new. I was kind of surprised they didn't give it more time, but I never even watched a single episode of it. But anyway, any surprises there? Any comments?
Well, you left off the only title that is of any consequence whatsoever, and that's Almost Human.
Oh, gosh, it's not on this list. That's right.
It must have been a late cancellation or something, but that is the out of all the titles we've mentioned so far, that is the only one that gets my dander up, so to speak. And
yeah.
It wasn't really a surprise because I knew that it wasn't low ratings, but it was mediocre ratings.
Yeah.
And you can tell by looking at it from the very first episode, it's like, this is not a cheap show to produce.
Yeah.
But it was so well written. I mean, one of the better written shows I've seen on television. And it was true science fiction, which is, it took ideas based on the technology that we have today and took them to their logical conclusion if they continue to develop in the direction that they're going and what might happen to society based on these innovations happening. And it just... It was really very, very well thought out. It was obviously inspired by Blade Runner, and some, you know, in a lot of other shows, but mainly Blade Runner was definitely an influence it wore in its shirt sleeve. And I'm a huge Blade Runner fan, so that was that scored with me. But Carl Urban, great, great actor in this role. Michael Ealy as his partner was also very good. Oh, I forget, Lily that played the captain. I can't remember.
Lily Taylor.
Yes. Another, you know, 4-star actor. But I'm sure all of these, you know, all of this talent added to the price tag of the show, and Fox just wasn't willing to green light a second season.
Yeah.
Which is too bad. If more people watched it, we could have, you know, we could have really, it could have gone somewhere, I believe.
Yeah, it had lots of good storylines. It had those moments in there throughout every episode. They weren't slapping you in the face with it, but there was these moments. It's like we're all almost human. They had these moments. It's like they played on different problems with, you know, human beings. You know, different issues that were brought up every so often, but they didn't slap you in the face with it. They just said it was part of the story, and it worked out really nice. I loved that show. I every episode is on. I'm like 4 episodes behind right now, but I've got them all on my DVR, and I'm good to go. So. All right. So yeah, I guess I'll be watching all of it. Now we're going to get into the renewals. These, I could honestly go without a lot of these. But anyway, for ABC, they've renewed Castle, Scandal, Revenge, Nashville, Shark Tank, The Middle, which I'm happy about that one. That's a fun show. The Bachelor, Resurrection, which I find surprising. The Goldbergs.
Yeah, really.
Especially since Believe got canceled on another network. I mean, you know, Believe got canceled. I mean, why couldn't they? Anyway, let's see. The Bachelor, Resurrection. Oh, The Goldbergs got renewed. Modern Family, Grey's Anatomy, Once Upon a Time got renewed. Dancing with the Stars, America's Funniest Home Videos. How long has that been going on? And
it's
finally.
Cheap to produce.
Yeah, exactly. All those reality shows, they're not surprising. Finally, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which we all knew. Woo-hoo! Anyway, so if they weren't, there would have been a riot. So any other than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we'll talk about the season finale on that one here real quick, but any of those other than that surprise you, you wish they would have canceled?
Well, can I just say quickly that I watched the first 2 episodes of Revenge because ABC had promoted that show so heavily, and I quit after the second episode. I was so infuriated with that show and the fact that it gets such high ratings, not just with viewers, but with, like, some critics. And it's like, really? Seriously? What drugs are you on? It is such a horrible show. It's like the most stereotypical primetime soap opera with just a bunch of, you know, beautiful women wearing designer clothes being bitchy to each other. That's all it is.
Isn't that Real Housewives? Okay, let's talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cliffhanger of a season ending? I don't think so, but it was interesting to watch. Now, I will say, and this is my big complaint about the season ending of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., did they just not, they ran out of money to write him a script but because they had to pay him so much just to appear? Samuel L. Jackson just was like, he was just there.
Superfluous.
Yeah. I don't know. It was like a non-eventful event. So what do you guys think of the season ending?
I was kind of tepid about it. There were some things I liked. I liked that, you know, now Coulson is the man in charge. He's been tasked with, you know, rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D. from the ground up. I don't think that's very surprising. I think we kind of knew that was going to happen. But I'm hoping, like what we mentioned earlier, that they don't do this too quickly, that the rebuilding of S.H.I.E.L.D. takes some time and presents some real challenges, and that they really think this out, because they're never going to be at this place again. So they should really take their time and exploit it for what it's worth, I believe. There were some things I liked, like I liked the end note with, what's the character's name? Bill Paxton's character. Anyway.
Garrett.
Yeah, right. I you see him, you know, oh, he's not really dead. And I was like, oh, God, they're really not going to do this, are they? You know, did no one actually pay any attention to his body laying there, and no one decided to box it up and take it with them? And yeah. I was like, oh, God. But they didn't.
No, wait,
you know,
they did box it up. They specifically showed them boxing it up. That's why that shot is just, that's terrible.
Oh,
that little
okay.
bit. I'm going to disagree with you on that. That bit was awful.
I mean, it started off awful, but I liked the laugh that I got out of it.
Yeah, same here.
Well, I agree. I think it was really funny, but It was totally unearned because they showed them literally putting him in a box to take him away. So when he popped back up, I was like, wait, what? Because he was in a box moments ago. This makes no sense.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, but I don't want to say it's not earned, and I'll tell you why it's important that they did that scene. Okay, yeah, they should have edited out the part where you saw him putting him in the thing, and they maybe should have had it make more sense. But when we were talking a couple of weeks ago about where Heroes lost the plot, I'll tell you where the show Heroes lost me without any hope of redemption was having Siler survive the last episode. It wasn't that they chickened out on killing anybody in the last episode of the first season, but particularly the fact that Siler survived and you knew he was going to come back and it was just going to be more of that guy again. Like, to me, that was terrible. So I really enjoyed how they teased my fear of that happening with this show and then didn't do it. But Tim, I agree with you. It is rank incompetence that they led us to think that he was boxed up, because then you have to say, well, did somebody unbox him so that Coulson could blow him up?
Okay, yeah, maybe I'll retract what I said about it being unearned. It's incompetence.
Yeah.
You know, that shot, whoever edited that really needs to rethink their job, because that was some terrible editing.
Yeah.
Because they focused on that. They had a close up of his face as they were putting the box on and sealing it.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
But
as you can probably tell, this last episode just irritated the crap out of me.
It did me, really. But I will say I enjoyed the laugh I got from the Coulson blowing him up. I enjoyed that laugh. I'm like, good, that's a way to end it, you know. But
so is okay. We never really get a definitive status on Fitz. Is he's alive, but is he brain damaged from the lack of oxygen? Is that what they were implying? I guess we'll have to wait till next season.
Yeah.
But I really thought that he was going to die. I know that most people are probably, of course, they're not going to kill off Fitz, but the way they were building it up,
I thought
he was going to be dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was sure Fitz was going to die.
Yeah, same here. But I think, well, here's the way I look at it in the long run of the Marvel Universe. They got in the new Avengers movie, it's going to be Ultron. They still need a brain for Vision. So I thought it was going to be Coulson, but apparently not. So they need a brain for Vision. Hey, maybe it'll be Fitz.
I don't know, man. I have to say, I'll reiterate what I said. I think it was on a previous podcast that the actual end to the season happened in episode 20.
Yep.
It was a lovely, lovely ending. Everything was torn down to the ground. There were lots of questions on where do we go from here. These last two episodes are absolutely superfluous. And
yeah,
this last episode has gotten me so down on S.H.I.E.L.D. again. I'm way back down because there are no consequences whatsoever for this season.
Yeah.
Grant, they've already planted the seeds about Grant, you know, saying to Garrett, hey, we can go back to being good guys now, right? We're good now. We don't have to be evil. Again, mark my words, Grant is coming back to the team because he wants to be a good guy. He does not want to be a bad guy. You know, leaving aside the fact that that actor and that character is way more interesting as a bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, as a good guy, he's totally dull.
Yeah.
As a bad guy, he's fascinating.
Yep.
So they've already set up that seed that Grant is not going to be a bad guy. Fitz didn't die. There were no consequences of that. Even so a small bit as Patton Oswalt's character coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For a moment I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. They'll have one of him at every secret base. That's interesting. All that does is let you know, hey, don't sweat it. Any death on this show? Totally inconsequential.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder about that because it's done in such a flippant way. I thought, oh, they're going to reveal that they are an LMD that's in every, you know, and that, yeah, they seem to bleed if you kill them because they're lifelike, but they're not. And I can't believe that they actually leave it at, oh, yeah, no, it's his brother, I guess, or
his
something.
His twin brother. I know. That's
yeah.
That there's was, no way.
It's so beyond cliched. It's just it should be boxed up and never allowed to be used again.
There's no way. There's no way he's his brother. He's an LMD. There's no way. The way he reacted to his brother's death is so blasé.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Hey,
there's no way you can convince me he's an actual brother to that guy.
Well, clones are prevalent in the Marvel Universe. They almost ruined Spider-Man. So why
they're
not?
The worst. They're one of the worst things about comics.
Yeah.
because, again, they robbed death of any meaning whatsoever.
Yep.
What this tells me, what bringing back Patton Oswalt's character tells me is you never have to fear for anybody's life. Because if we kill them, they were a decoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, his death is completely pointless. Why kill him off in the first place if you're going to bring him back this episode? It makes no sense.
This episode made me so disheartened. It really did. And Joss Whedon is known for being absolutely heartless with his fans and being willing to kill off beloved characters. And in this, absolutely no consequence whatsoever. Well, so upset.
See, here's what I think. I think that Joss Whedon listened to our last podcast when we were so upset about Patton Oswalt dying that they said, "Oh crap, we got to bring him back. The Nerd Up podcast likes him." So I think that's the case. I think that's
what happened.
You know, that's a double-edged sword, though. I mean, fanboys bitch and moan because they kill off their favorite characters. That's part of the attraction to these type of things. You want to have those feelings. You want to miss those characters.
Well, now they're going to open up the season after listening to this episode and kill them off again. So,
I mean, as much as I hate to say it, I hope Fitz dies. I do, and I love that character. I absolutely adore that character. He's one of my favorites in the show. I hope he dies.
I'm not hoping he dies. I'm hoping that the method they bring him back is integral to the rest of the story. You know,
yes.
I think if they do it, they better do it right.
I'll take it a step further. The radical treatment that they use to preserve his considerable intellect eventually leads to him becoming MODOK. That's what I want. I just want MODOK.
MODOK's so weird looking, but I'm thinking
it would be awesome. I'd be down for either of those possibilities, anything.
It's not going to happen, though.
No, but we can have fun guessing. So, all right, let's move on to other renewals here. Let's go to CBS now. CBS, they have renewed CSI. I'm guessing it's just
Surprise.
The original one. Mom, which I never heard of. NCIS, Survivor. Elementary, which I'm kind of glad because BBC did Sherlock better anyway. Blue Bloods, which I'm glad because that's what my wife watches, and we got to keep her happy. Mike and Molly, The Millers, Hawaii 5-0, The Mentalist, The Good Wife, Two Broke Girls, Criminal Minds, Undercover Boss, which is kind of a cool series, one of the reality shows that I like because it's always got those tearjerker moments. The Amazing Race, which they could have canceled long ago, NCIS Los Angeles, Two and a Half Men, and Person of Interest, which I've been wanting to bring up on this podcast for a while now. That is an amazing show. And finally, The Big Bang Theory, which, hey, all comic book nerds need to be watching The Big Bang Theory anyway. So
I don't know about that.
Can I just say about CBS?
I can't get interested in it.
I say CBS should change their tagline to, "This is your parents' television network."
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, man. The Big Bang Theory just seems like a nerd minstrel show to me.
Yeah, well, that's what it is, yeah. And it's got its, I mean, I think I watch it mainly just to see what kind of comic book reference is going to go, what nerd culture reference is going to happen in this one. I don't care what happens to the characters in the show. I just like to see the references, you know. What superhero is Sheldon going to wear his T-shirt this week, you know, things like that. But I could care less about the characters themselves. But Person of Interest, have any of you guys watched that series?
No, but it's got the guy from, the freaky looking guy from Lost in it. And I always wanted to watch it, but I never did.
It's pretty good. It also has, what's her name from Dollhouse? She was the doctor in Dollhouse for a while and then figured out.
Amy Acker.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah, and you know, later found out she was actually a doll. But anyway, she's in it, especially in this last season. And she's got some sort of tie-in with some, I don't know what you'd call it. It's like her brain has a direct, and it's like people are saying that she's like talking to God herself. And it's like she's just always at the right time, at the right place at the right time to get things going and push things forward. She's a very interesting catalyst in every single story late in this last season. And the whole aspect that they have connection to every single camera, data stream, everything, it's just the way they work the story. It's just phenomenal. I mean, there's times when I'm at the end of that episode, I'm watching whatever they're talking about in the episode. I'm done watching and I'm like, crap, where's the government looking at me from this time? Oh my gosh, I got a Wii U that has one of those sensor devices. Are they watching me through that? You know, I got my camera on my laptop. Are they looking at me through there? And it's amazing the way they tell the stories. you feel paranoid, but at the same time, you're still going to watch every episode. It's really, I got, my wife watched it, and I sat down a couple times to watch it and just became hooked. It just, they've got some great stuff going on, and a great Big Brother aspect of it as well. So,
Gil, can I answer your question? Yes. Yes, they are. We all are. As a matter of fact, The Gil Show is my favorite show on TV these days.
I wondered why that every time I tried to get across that lake, it was I'd hit a wall. But anyway, no, Person of Interest. I'd recommend anybody at least watch an episode of it and try it out. I mean, it's very intriguing. It's one of the better shows on television, on CBS for sure anyway. But it's a fun movie, fun series to watch.
Oh, can I bring something up here before I forget? It's and this is in on ABC. It's one of their new fall shows that's coming out that I just read about, and I haven't watched Broadchurch on the BBC.
Loved it.
A lot of people have been really raving about it, and it's got, you know, David Tennant,
mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be very, very good. And it's on my list of things to watch. Well, apparently, even though that show is still continuing on the BBC, it got picked up for a third season, I think.
Yep.
They are doing an Americanized remake. Why they have to do this, I don't know. But the interesting thing is, and it's called Grace Point. And
yeah.
The interesting thing is that David Tennant will be playing the same role, except he'll be doing an American accent.
Yeah, I know, right? I saw that.
One of the weirdest ideas I've ever heard of.
It is a very weird idea. And his co-star is Anna Gunn from Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Broadchurch, that was one of the perfect examples. In fact, that's one I got my wife to watch because I wanted to watch David Tennant. And B, I knew she liked cop shows. And this is one of those that's a perfect example of what we've talked about before of a continuing storyline. One season is one story, done. It's not episode by episode. They solve the crime by the end of the hour. It's one season, one crime, and they get it solved by the end of the season, but it's a continuous story, and that storytelling is just, they do a great job. Well, BBC does a great job with just about every show they put out, almost. But this one, I love Broadchurch, and I'm curious to see it come. See, I love Life on Mars and Ashes to Ashes, the sequel to that on BBC. But when they brought it to America, Life on Mars was like the worst piece. I mean, even Harvey Keitel could not save that show. And I was so upset. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen, but I don't have my hopes up.
Well, there's a trailer on ABC.com that you can view, and because I was very curious to hear what David Tennant's American accent sounded like. And there's not a whole lot of his dialogue, but it seems to be doing a decent enough job of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and this is something else I wanted to bring up before. Again, we're getting my points where I've been wanting to bring up, but this one. A lot of people, and these are the people I try to avoid, I'll ask them, are you a fan of Monty Python? Oh, no, I can't understand the accent. What? It's English. How can you not understand? And it's like, I can't understand the accent. Like, they're not speaking Farsi.
I don't understand that. I don't understand why David Tennant has to do an American dialect
right. Any
more than I could understand why Hugh Laurie had to do an American dialect in House.
Right,
There's no reason for that. You cast these actors. They're talented. They don't have to have an American dialect.
Right.
Let them concentrate on the character, not the accent.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Why add one more thing they got to worry about?
Right.
Did either of you guys watch the series Dresden Files on Sci-Fi that was, you know, based on the Jim Butcher books?
No. Mm-mm.
No, they had – it's weird. I can't figure this out why they did this, but Paul Blackthorne, he had to do an American accent, which he does in Arrow, so hey. Anyway, he did the American accent as Harry Dresden. And the other actor was supposed to be British, or he did a British accent, but he was American. I'm like, why did they do that? Although that series had its other problems, but still. I just don't understand why they can't just do British accents in America. We have British people that come here, and it's fine. it's just, I can understand the accent. The people that can't, I think they live in trailer parks anyway. So, anything else, Kim Coker? You've been silent.
I'm the strong silent type.
Okay. All right, let's move on to NBC then. Renewal, and I'm happy about this one, Grimm.
Woohoo!
Yep, and here's one Eric will be happy about, Hannibal.
Yes.
The Voice, which I like the auditions, but after that it becomes total crap. Parenthood has been renewed for one final season, which is you could tell that they're building to an end anyway. And that's actually a surprising show to watch. Great actors. Even Dax Shepard is really good in this show. And him before, I've just thought of kind of comedic relief, actually. But in this one, he's really good. It's a fun family. There's nothing nerdy about it. It's just kind of a fun family TV show.
Anyway, good things about it.
Yeah, and it's got one final episode, and you can tell they're coming to the end anyway of the story, so that's a good thing. Let's see here. Chicago PD was renewed. About a Boy renewed. Chicago Fire renewed. So Chicago, hitting it big on TV. The Blacklist renewed.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, I'm happy about that. I want to talk about the season finale on that. Law and Order, SVU renewed. The Biggest Loser renewed. Parks and Rec, final season. But I think they were planning this to be the final season anyway. So let's see here. So let's talk about first thing. Let's go through the list in order here. Grimm, I'm glad it was renewed. I haven't seen the season finale, but Eric Billingsley, you saw the season finale so far, right?
Yes, I did.
Well, what are they doing with this new Grimm?
Well, that is one of the best things that they have done with this series since it was created, was introducing this new Grimm. And, you know, on paper, it may sound a little rote and, you know, and predictable, but the actor that they have, the actress that they've got playing the part, and her name is Trouble, T-R-U-B-E-L.
Right.
Didn't know she was a Grimm. She thought she was actually crazy because that's what everyone had always told her. And she's been homeless and kind of, you know, and kind of a logical place where you might expect someone who sees monsters around her everywhere.
Right.
But she's a survivor and she hasn't let her get her down. And she gets discovered by, you know, by Nick, who's the, you know, the title character of the show. And he has taken her under his wing and given her, you know, letting her live with him and his fiance, or, well, not even fiance, his girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother story. But I just really like this dynamic. It's really working for me. And I think it is probably for most Grimm fans. And it's just been like a shot in the arm and really reinvigorated the show, because now there's a lot of unknowns that weren't there before. And I just really am enjoying watching this character, and I think it's a brilliant stroke of writing on the part of the writers of the show. The season finale involves Trouble, and as people who have been watching the show know, Monroe and Rosalie got engaged, and mm-hmm. this season, or at least the last part of the season, has been building up to their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Nick is the best man, and in order to avoid bloodshed at the wedding, they've decided that he will wear sunglasses, because that's how the Vessen are able to identify him as a Grimm, is when he sees them vogue. They see his eyes go black, and it's
right.
like a deep black that goes down to the soul, as Monroe said.
Let me ask. Okay, I know you're probably going to say it, but I want to ask. I want to know ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Do his glasses fall off during the wedding?
Yes, but not as you might expect.
Oh, okay.
Things
okay.
don't go as you might expect them to, because what? And this is the part of the reason why this is such a great season finale for Grimm. I guess it's mid-season finale, because it's going to be back in the fall. But as compared to the last finale, which was the whole zombie thing, which didn't really work for me.
Yeah, I think they're just playing on The Walking Dead being so popular at that point.
Yeah, and it just didn't, there really wasn't, I mean, it's not like, oh, you know, is Nick going to be a zombie? Come on, really. There was no real tension to that ending. But in this finale, they've really taken the characters, there's a lot of threads that build up to a boiling point in this finale. And they all involve characters that we know and like and love. And there's personal stakes to be had here.
We got a couple more networks to go through here. I know you want to talk about Hannibal, Eric, but...
I'll wait. Next week is the finale. I'll
oh, okay. We'll wait for that, the finale, then, on that for next week. But the Blacklist season finale, I don't know. I don't know if I really want to continue watching, but at the same time, with the way the season went, I think I will have to, because it's been good writing up till now, but I think the finale was not so hot. Let's see. Let's move on to a couple other networks here before we talk about the Indie PopCon here. CW, The Renewing Arrow, which we knew, and of course they're going to be bringing The Flash. Rain, they renewed. The 100, they renewed. I still haven't watched that. Supernatural, I'm glad, but I think they've only got one season left in the story for Supernatural. Heart of Dixie, The Originals, The Vampire Diaries, Beauty and the Beast, and America's Top Model. Why? I don't know. So CW, Arrow, I'm glad to see. Supernatural, I'm glad to see, but I think they only have one final season left in it anyway. And then, of course, let's see, the 100. I've been wanting to watch that. It looks intriguing, but I haven't seen a single episode yet. So, all right, let's go on with the Fox Network renewals. Glee, but it's the final season, and it's going to premiere in the mid-season. So, that one, I never really got into that at all. So pardon my sexism, but that was a girly show. Bones, New Girl, Family Guy, which kind of goes, Simpsons, of course. Sleepy Hollow got renewed. I never watched an episode of that, but I've heard it's good. American Idol, meh. The Following, Bob's Burgers, I'm glad. I like H. John Benjamin a lot. Let's see, Master Chief Jr., or Master Chef Jr., The Mindy Project got renewed. I know, Master Chief would have been better, right? Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and So You Think You Can Dance. So any comments on any of the Fox ones? I'm glad to see Bob's Burgers because, like I said, I'm a fan of H. John Benjamin. I just love, especially Archer. I love his work on Archer. It's just so fun.
I love Archer.
Yeah, especially this Archer Vice season they had was even one of the funniest. It was so cool. See, I didn't get any of those other networks.
I can never get into Bob's Burgers. I tried via Netflix because I like H. John Benjamin, and Archer, I think, is absolutely hilarious. I don't know. I mean, like, Bob's Burgers, like, I like him, but, like, I really would rather walk around picking up garbage than listen to the actress that plays his wife. She's so annoying.
It's a he.
And, like, I don't know. Oh, it's a guy who plays his wife?
Yeah, he was just recently
That probably helps explain it.
Yeah, he was just recently on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, and it was hilarious to watch this. I'm like, holy cow. I'm with you, though. But now you know it's a guy. How does that make you feel?
Well, I might find it funnier. I'll have to check it out.
I like the kids, though. The kids are kind of rambunctious.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess, actually, I think, Tim Cooker, do you still have to leave early?
I do. I've got to start kind of making my way towards the car, so.
All right. Anything you want to close out with? Because we're going to talk about Indie PopCon, which you're not going to with us, which we're, you know, still mad at you about that. But, you know, we'll get over it. But any closing comments you'd like to add
in? I'm pretty sad about it myself. Well, I'm going to talk about Indie PopCon and how anybody listening to this should try to go and not experience the sorrow I'm feeling at having to miss it, because it really sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people there that I think would be great to see, and honestly, I would just like to go to a convention in a less of a major market than Chicago, because I have a feeling it'd be a little less of a zoo, so I'd like to check that out, too. So I really envy you guys all going to this show.
Yeah, we're going to have a blast, I know that much. It's funny, I just kind of mentioned it, and all of a sudden everybody says, let's go! Except for you, Tim Coker, you said, can't.
Except for me.
but nope, we did hear hear the sadness in your voice when you were chatting with us. So
yes.
So all right, well Tim, if you need to go ahead, because that's what we're going to talk about now is Indie PopCon. But stick around if you want to stick around and talk about this. But yes, Indie PopCon, we're going. Tim Matson, he's the one that kind of got us all decided to go. Eric, you're going to be heading up there. Eric and I are going to be rooming together. And then I'm also bringing Isaac, so there will be no booze involved, no hookers.
Oh, I can't go then. I'm sorry.
Well, you'll have your cosplay women to find. But anyway, and actually that reminds me, Tim, you're going to be doing a little cosplay as the Riddler, is that right? This little character, Riddler you created, actually, I think.
That's a maybe.
Okay.
See?
Well, because I know Isaac is wanting to go, and he's got so many ideas. I think he's going to go back with his Scarlet Spider costume and hang out in that, because he doesn't really have time to put together the other costumes. He's working on a Doc Ock costume that's going to be just cool as heck. But he's got Carnage in the works as well. But I think he's going to have to go, because he's still missing parts for the other costumes. Scarlet Spider, I think, is what he's going to end up going as. Let's see. Let's talk about first the guests that are going to be at this convention. First of all, from Firefly, and I think he did something like Barney Miller or something, but Ron Glass is going to be there. Also from Serenity, too, if you want to count those as separate. Sylvester McCoy from Doctor Who and recently The Hobbit, but more the doctor. He was the doctor with the question mark on his umbrella or cane thing. So I like that. I always like that. Christian Nairn, Hodor.
Hodor.
He's going to be there with Game of Thrones. Joel Hodgson, or not with Game of Thrones, but representing Game of Thrones, I guess. Joel Hodgson, creator, writer, whatever, artist extraordinaire of Mystery Science Theater 3000 and later Cinematic Titanic. Paul and Storm, they're a little comedy duo. I guess they're a nerd comedy duo. Nicholas Brendan from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, huh? John DiMaggio is going to be there, and we're going to set up, like I said, we're going to set up some kind of a cage match between him and Tim Matson. John DiMaggio, voice of Bender, and the Joker.
And just the worst.
And then Candice McClure from Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
I can't remember. She's the one that married Apollo for a while there. Kevin Eastman, co-creator of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And here's one that gets me. I've talked to this guy before, back when I was in Kansas City radio, and I can't believe he's still doing this, but Eric Stewart, Pokemon voice talent, and Yu-Gi-Oh! But we interviewed him on the air in Kansas City, and we had kids calling in, and Pokemon was huge at that time. It's still big, but not as huge as it was. But we had him answer the kids' calls as Brock, because that's the voice he does on Pokemon, among others. But all the kids would ask Brock a question. It was the coolest thing ever, and the guy was just great at answering impromptu questions about his character. So, but here's one that gets me, and I can't figure out why he's going to be at Indie PopCon. Rupert Bonham from Survivor. I hate Survivor. I can't stand Survivor. But I will say he was the coolest one competitor in any of the Survivors. He was the one that was the hippie and was just all laid back and everything. The fans loved him, so, oh well, he'll be there. The Red Power Ranger, Rocky, is going to be there. Steve Cardenas, so there, how about that? Esme Bianco from Game of Thrones, that's two representatives from Game of Thrones going to be there. This list just goes on. There's a whole bunch of comic book artists. Let's see, animators, illustrators. It's just going to be one phenomenal con. Friday night, and I'm just now realizing I'm going to miss Joel Hodgson. Because I can't make it on Friday night.
Yeah, that's why I'm going early, because I don't want to miss that.
Yeah, so I'll be going Saturday and part of Sunday. Eric, you're planning on going up, like you said, Friday. And are you going to stay through the whole weekend? Well, I guess so.
Yeah.
Okay. Tim Matson, what's your complete plans? What do you think?
I will definitely be there by Friday afternoon so that I can see Joel. It's one of the biggest draws for me. I'm really looking forward to that. But I'll be there the entire weekend.
Ah, okay, cool.
Flying back home on Monday.
Wow, you're definitely going to have a good con. See, due to work limitations, I'm going to have to only go Saturday and Sunday. So, but that's still going to be a good chunk of this Indie PopCon. I got to mention two more names here. Jackson Bostwick, the original Shazam from the Saturday live action show Shazam Isis Hour, he's going to be there. Captain Marvel, Shazam, not the guy that played Billy Batson, but the actual guy that played Shazam. And finally, Isaac was interested in this guy, Bad Luck Brian, the guy that you see on all those internet memes. He's going to be there, and it's ought to be kind of fun. So again, a lot of fun, great little con. We'll go one by one here. We'll start with you, Tim Matson. What are you looking most forward to besides, well, I guess you said Joel Hodgson is one of them, but what are you looking most forward to other than that?
Well, you actually left off a big segment of this con, which is going to be gaming. There's a lot of gaming-related things going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Young Horses, the devs behind Octodad, which is one of my favorite games. If you haven't played that game, it is absolutely a must-play. It's so much fun. You play as an octopus who's been undercover as a human being his entire life, married and has two kids. It's great fun. The other thing I'm really looking forward to is seeing the Oculus Rift in action.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna have that.
Oh, yeah.
There. Absolutely. I'm so on the fence on I may go ahead and spring for the VIP pass just because it guarantees you three goes on the Oculus Rift.
Oh, wow. Okay.
How much is that VIP pass?
I think it's $130. Yeah, I'm definitely, I'm 90% sure I'm going to go ahead and do that because I really want to experience the Oculus Rift so I can talk about it. And you know, I really feel like that's on the cusp of a real revolution in gaming.
Oh, okay. The gaming experience VIP is $130. So the Joel Hodgson experience VIP is $140.
Yeah. But I don't see paying $140 just for a one-hour event.
I see. I'm just going to go there as a regular attendee, no VIP. I'm just going to see what kind of fun. However, being media, I will be interviewing several people just from my media. So I guess I really don't need the VIP from that aspect. So I'll actually – I'm going to be arranging as best I can for all of us at one point to interview somebody. Starting next week, I'm going to – start setting up all the interview times with the organizers of the event, and we actually will be appearing as media from that aspect and actually be doing some 101 interviews. So
the other thing I'm looking forward to, I have to say, Candice McClure, I absolutely fell in love with her in Battlestar Galactica. She was so adorable.
Yeah.
And, you know, on top of that, the character was really great, and the transformation that character went through over the course of the series was fascinating to watch.
And I'll go one greater than that. You guys remember her from Battlestar Galactica. I fell in love with Miss McClure when she was in a show called Jeremiah, which was written and produced and showrun by J. Michael Straczynski. This was on Showtime, and it ran for 2, maybe 3 seasons. But I've got them all on DVD, and it's a very underrated and underwatched show. But she had a recurring character on that show, and that's what I remember her from. And I was totally enamored with her at that point.
Well, her photo op is only $30 if you want to spring for that. That's one of the lower priced photo ops.
I'm afraid we may have to have a restraining order to keep me and Eric back.
True.
She is so gorgeous.
True. Yeah. She's got those stunning hazel eyes, man. They
My God. We could just talk about like that for an hour.
again, single nerds. Well, I know that also the Red Ranger, I mean, just I don't see why you guys aren't going for this, but you can actually have a karate experience with this guy for $40. I mean, what? Why is this Candice? no karate. So anyway, let's see. Looks like John DiMaggio.
I gotta say that I'm
really
looking forward to, other than Joel Hodgson, which is probably my premier event as well. But if and this is a big if I can have my picture taken with Hodor, with my arms around his neck, like he's carrying me on his back, like he does with Bran in the show, I will gladly pay whatever fee that it takes for to get that picture. But that's the only pose that I'm interested in doing.
I take it back. They may have to have a restraining order against Eric or Hodor.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know. I do know. I was looking at the photo ops, just kind of browsing through them, but. I guess Joel Hodgson is going to be there the whole weekend. I thought it was just going to be the Friday night event, but he's going to be there Sunday for photo ops. So I guess he'll be there the whole weekend, so I'm not too worried. At least I'll be able to interview him, hopefully. So we'll see how that goes. The guy guaranteed me an interview with Joel Hodgson because that's the guy really drove me to want to go there. So, yeah, like you said, gaming is a huge part of it. It's just I didn't even bother looking up the gaming aspect of it. And now that you said the Oculus Rift, oh man, that's tempting.
Oh man, I'm so jazzed for that.
Yeah. Oh, so that ought to be fun. But in the comics world, they got lots of artists. Again, the co-creator of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kevin Eastman. I mean, that's a guy that he started out. They started out just kind of like, let's just have fun with this, make fun of them, and, you know, and then it turned out to be almost a serious comic, and then they got a whole franchise built on it. I don't know. It should be a fun one. It's the whole weekend of May 30th through June 1st at the Indiana Convention Center in downtown Indianapolis, which is the one the convention center joins Lucas Oil Stadium, which is where the Indianapolis Colts play, which is where a Super Bowl was played a couple years ago. So they're not going to be there in that stadium, but they'll be next door to it. And I understand it's a pretty good-sized place as well. So this ought to be a fun event. All sorts of artists, gaming, you've got the celebrities, a typical con. Anything else you guys are looking forward to?
Well, if you guys aren't familiar with them, Paul and Storm are really a lot of fun. They make some really great geek music. I'd highly recommend seeing them.
Okay. I've never heard of them before.
Do yourself a favor, check him out on YouTube before we go, because I guarantee you, you'll become a fan.
Okay.
Well, I haven't been to a con in many, many, many years, so I'm looking forward to just the general con atmosphere and the, you know, hitting the vendor booth and seeing. There's like the Doctor Who America is actually having a vendor booth there, so I'm sure I'll wind up buying at least a few items from there. And and, you know, just watching all the cosplayers, I can't wait. Because, I mean, last time I went to a con, cosplay was nowhere near the popularity that it is now. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the various costumes and taking pictures. Although I did find by reading the website, apparently it's considered to be very rude to take a picture of a cosplayer without asking them first. So I'm kind of glad I read that, because I would have been just, like, snapping pictures left and right, but...
Yeah,
I think it's cool to go ahead and take like a photo of like the show floor where there are a bunch of people just walking around. But yeah, it is considered good form that if you want a picture of someone in cosplay, ask them, because I guarantee you they'll be thrilled to pieces.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way it is.
I went to a con this last year. This is my very first anime con, and it was so amazing. The cosplay was out of this world, and people put so much effort into it. That they want to show that off. So if you want a picture of anyone, I guarantee you, if you ask them to take their picture, they'll be more than happy to lay in.
Yeah,
cool.
Most of them, and again, it kind of legitimizes what they do. You know, it's like, your costume is so cool, I want a photo of it. You know, it's like, hey, you know, that's one more vote for them to show that I did it right. I'm going to be hunting down Deadpool. Apparently, the guy that goes to all the cons dressed as Deadpool will be there. I cannot think.
I guarantee
of...
there'll be like 30 Deadpools.
Oh, I'm sure of that, but there's one that makes it to every con. It's one guy. He's got all sorts of YouTube videos that he specializes in. I mean, like, again, there's several people that do Deadpool, but this guy is on a lot of them, and he's going to be there. And in fact, he has a I think Friday, no, maybe a Saturday morning, he's got a thing about being. He's going to be. He has his own moment where he gets to talk about everybody about being Deadpool. So it's like that's how big of a Deadpool he is. And we're looking forward to finding him, tracking him down. But his costume is really cool. So, yeah, it ought to be a fun. If you want more information on the Indie PopCon, you can just go to the website, indiepopcon.com. And they've got everything laid out on the website. Very well done website when it comes to getting information. There's been cons before where I can't find any information on their website. But this one, if you want to know the ticket prices, if you want to know close hotels, if you want to know how to participate, if you want to know what all is going to happen, they've got it pretty well laid out on their website. So it's indiepopcon.com.
And now, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't this the first one?
Honestly, I don't know.
I did a lot of looking around. It appears that this is their inaugural year.
Oh, wow. They got a great guest list for it being the first one.
That's what I thought. I think it's really astounding that they managed to get such great guests.
But the guy that was running the promotional media, the PR, talked to him. I called him directly, and it was basically whenever I looked up the information how to get a hold of him. From what it felt like, it was like his own personal cell phone that I called. So it was like he just answered it, hello. And so when we started working with him on the promotions and setting up interviews and stuff. He was so easygoing, and it was, like, really cool to work with. So the people running this place, looks like they know what they're doing, and at the same time, they're pretty easygoing. They know what they're treating the people right. So, but, yeah, indiepopcon.com, May 30th through June 1st. Hey, and if you're listening and you want to meet us, go on up there. We'll be up there somewhere, somehow, walking around, probably as a group. We'll probably separate different moments because – you never know what's going to happen, especially if Tim Mattson gets that VIP pass. So he's going to go off and say, ha ha, you little peons, I'm going to go be a VIP.
Uh-huh. Until we beat him and take away his VIP pass.
But now, we weren't supposed to say that out loud, Derek.
Oh, sorry.
So, but yeah, we're going to have fun with it. And we will be recording not just between us as podcasters. We'll be talking about our experiences there. Plus, we're going to be doing interviews with several of the guests. So we're going to look forward to the podcasts, actually maybe even several podcasts after the event, because it's going to be filled with things that happened here. Now, there's also another con coming up. Horror Con is coming up that I'm trying to go to, but I guess, you know, only one con to get everybody together at one time. So I don't
one con to rule them all.
Yeah. So it was just amazing that people coming from all over the world are going to come to this con, but it got all of us podcasters from the Nerd Up podcast to get together, with the exception of Tim Coker. And we're from various parts of the world, too.
Yeah, I mean, we should mention the fact that, I mean, we haven't seen each other since college.
Yeah, that's been over 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's been 20 years this year. So yeah, that's how good this con is. It brought us together. All right, let's see. Well, let's close out this podcast. We've been rambling on enough. Let's see here. Again, thanks, Tim Coker. You're not there anymore, are you, Tim? Nope, didn't think so. I thought
he dropped.
Yeah. So he had things to do, and he's always having excuses of not showing up at things like this con. Oh, wait, never mind.
He's way too cool for us.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. So.
Yeah, but like family stuff and like wedding anniversaries and silly, inconsequential stuff like that.
I know, right?
Those adult-type things. Come on. Get your priorities straight, Tim Coker.
Why did he have to be the one that grew up? So, but anyway, no, thanks, Tim Coker, for joining us today. Let's go ahead and close out the podcast. I'm Gil T. Wilson. You can tweet me at Gil Wilson.
And I'm Tim Gone Mad at Tim Gone Mad on Twitter.
And I'm Eric Billingsley, and I could be twitted at Eric Bell, ERICBILL.
All right. Well, that does it for this episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. Stay nerdy.
Nerd Up Podcast.
www.gilwilson.com.
If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out
www.gilwilson.com.
GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.